He is risen. Hallelujah. So good to look out and see your faces this morning. Friends that we haven't seen for a while and family members that are here. Young ladies with their Easter dresses on, and some of us old fellows with a new tie, perhaps, tied just right. We put on our best that we might come and meet the Master. You know, it was hard for me, if you can believe this, and I'm behind the pulpit, so I'm telling you the truth. It was hard for me to decide today to try to understand or discern what it is that the Lord would have me speak upon, because there's so many today, so many things that we could talk about. I was just in amazement how all these things have come together today. Sacrament service, which is traditionally for us the first Sunday of the month, happens to be the same day as Easter this year, the day before the anniversary of the church, which is tomorrow on April the 6th. I thought about astronomical events and how those things seem to be playing themselves out right before our very eyes. And you know, I think what sums it up the best for me, and my brother Brad mentioned it in the back to the priesthood before we came up, this is a day of remembrance. A day in which we remember all these things. We remember the testimonies of the prophets and those that have gone on before us that wrote in the books what transpired in their day and the importance of those things to us today, of how it is that Jesus rose from the dead. The Apostle Paul said, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." And that's in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. And if you read that entire chapter, there is no doubt in your mind who it was that Paul was talking about that would bring about this righteousness among the children of men. And that one is Jesus Christ. And I marvel how it is that He condescended. He made Himself of no estate, and He came down and He took upon Himself flesh and blood, and He walked among men, and He taught them, and He healed them, and He showed them the way. And He came because He was willing to do His Father's will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He wept and He prayed to His Father. He said, "Let this cup pass from me." Because He knew what was about to transpire, Jesus did. But then He said, "Nevertheless, Thy will be done." He was willing to go to the end, to endure to the end, because that's what His Father wanted. And that's why Jesus came. He came to go to the cross and to lay His life down as a sacrifice that you and I can become the sons and daughters of God, that we might not be separated from Him anymore, but that we might be brought into that fold, that we might be claimed His, and then that the promise might be ours to have of eternal life. And from Latter-day Revelation, the 76th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 3, is the testimony of two men that ministered together and were partners in many ways in bringing about this latter-day glory. And it says, we, Joseph Smith Jr. and Sidney Rigdon, being in the Spirit, on the 16th day of February in the year of our Lord 1832, by the power of the Spirit, our eyes were opened, and our understandings were enlightened, so as to see and understand the things of God, even those things which were from the beginning before the world was, which were ordained of the Father through His only begotten Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, even from the beginning, of whom we bear record. And the record we bear is the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the Son, whom we saw, and with whom we conversed in a heavenly vision. For while we were doing the work of translation, which the Lord had appointed unto us, we came to the 29th verse of the 5th chapter of John, which was given unto us as follows. Matter of fact, we'll be studying that chapter next Sunday in Sunday school class, so you all better be here so we can get a little better understanding of that chapter. Yeah, I'm teaching Sunday school next Sunday, so had to put that plug in there to get you to come back, right? And they were speaking of the resurrection of the dead. And concerning those things who shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come forth, they who have done good in the resurrection of the just, and they who have done evil in the resurrection of the unjust. Now this caused us to marvel, for it was given unto us of the Spirit. And while we meditated upon these things, the Lord touched the eyes of our understanding, that they were opened. And the glory of the Lord shone round about, and we beheld the glory of the Son on the right hand of the Father, and received of His fullness, and saw the holy angels, and they who were sanctified before His throne, worshiping God and the Lamb, who worship Him forever and ever. And now, after the many testimonies which have been given of Him, this is the testimony, last of all, which we give of Him, that He lives. For we saw Him, even on the right hand of God. And we heard the voice bearing record that He is the only begotten of the Father, that by Him and through Him and of Him the worlds are and were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. Brothers and sisters, this is the testimony of these men who were wrapped up in this heavenly vision, and they saw the Christ, the Son of the living God, standing at the right hand of His Father. And this was the testimony, they said, last of all, that He lives. They saw Him with their own eyes. And is not our testimony too that He lives? Has the Spirit not borne witness to you, saints of the latter days, that Jesus is alive? And He calls to us yet to come unto Him and to be His. And He reminds us that He has claimed us. If we've made that covenant with Him in the waters of baptism, we are His. We've taken upon ourselves His name. And we are worthy, upon condition of our repentance, to reach forth and partake of these emblems that have been prepared before us. And you'll see when this cloth is removed here in a few moments, On the front of this table is written the words, "This do in remembrance of me." What did Jesus do for you that you should remember Him? He went to the cross. That's what He did. And He was willing to do it because He loves you. No greater love hath a man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. He laid down His life for you, my friend. And He did so gladly. I can't hardly imagine the suffering that Jesus went through on the way to the cross. But you know, the story doesn't stop there. The story doesn't stop with the closing of the tomb and the placing of Jesus' body in that tomb. Can you imagine the surprise that Mary must have had, or the disciples, when they saw that the stone had been rolled away and He wasn't there anymore? It's because His spirit was reunited with His body. Jesus broke the bands of death. The scripture I read at the beginning said that because of one man's sin entered into this world, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam fell and sin came into this world, and you and I are born in sin. But because of what Jesus did in breaking the bands of death, in a temporal way and in a spiritual way, we can be restored again to our proper body and our proper form. And we can come back into His presence and the presence of the Father. Jesus was the first fruits of this resurrection. The first to having been raised from the dead. Over 100 years ago, there was a family that was assembled at the bedside of their friend and of their father, grandfather, and the prophet of the church. They're at the bedside of Joseph III, and he died in 1914. And he called his family together because he wanted to share with them and with the church his dying testimony. And I can only imagine the scene as they took pen and paper in hand, ready to write down the words of the prophet before he passed on to his reward. And they leaned in and listened carefully. And he spoke these words. He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, there wasn't a long discourse that was necessary. Only those few and simple words needed to be spoken. And no more true words have ever been uttered than those. The testimony of that prophet to the church in the last days. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I can remember the testimony of a good elder some years ago, and he was a convert to the church. And he was, near as I can recall the story, he was courting his wife. And he went to church with her and her family, and of course they were good Latter-day Saints and Restorationists. And the thing that struck him the most as he entered into their church was the cross that was on the wall of their sanctuary. You see, he was used to seeing the figure of Jesus there on the cross. And rightly so, that cross has become a symbol, really, for Christianity. But this simple cross in the church that he attended with his wife, Jesus wasn't on that cross. And as he asked questions and began to learn and began to study, he realized that Jesus came down from that cross and he rose from the grave and he is alive forevermore. And he offered that eternal life to that man who became a member of the church and was ordained an elder. I remember that testimony. I don't recall how many years ago it was. A long time. It's funny how these testimonies stay with you. I'd like to now turn to the third book of Nephi, the 8th chapter. And these are the words of Jesus as he spoke to his disciples here in this continent. And he appeared unto them after his resurrection, and he taught them, and he called them, and he ordained those that would have the authority to administer this sacrament and to serve this bread and this wine. And I would like to read to you two verses from that 8th chapter in the 3rd book of Nephi. And the first is verse 32. And he says, "Behold, there shall be one ordained among you, and to him will I give power, that he shall break bread and bless it, and give it unto the people of my church, unto all those who shall believe and be baptized in my name." You can see the responsibility that we have as priesthood in preparing and in serving these emblems. This is a ministry that is to the church, to those that have believed and have been baptized. And moving down to verse 40, and it says, "And this shall ye always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name. And ye shall do it in remembrance of my blood, which I have shed for you, that ye may witness unto the Father that ye do always remember me." So not only is it a service of remembrance when we remember the broken body and spilt blood of Jesus Christ, but it is a witness unto God the Father of that which we do, of remembering His Son, His only begotten Son. And you'll hear those words in the prayer over these emblems in just a few moments. And turning back to the book of John in the 6th chapter, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the resurrection of the just at the last day." Can you see the importance of this ordinance, saints? If you don't partake of these things, he said, there is no life in you. And Jesus is not a God of death. He is a God of life. And he calls us to partake of these things that this eternal life might be ours. And how it is, if we do these things, that he will raise us up in the resurrection of the just at the last day. So you can see how these things all start to come together, can't you? The sacrament service on Easter Sunday, where we remember his broken body and spilt blood, and where we remember the resurrection, and how it is that Jesus rose from the grave and broke those bands, those fetters that bound him. What a joyful time. What a time of reflection. What a time of remembrance. As Jesus spoke with Martha, he said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asks Martha, believe thou this? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he offers both of these things to us. He offers us resurrection. The resurrection of the just is where I'd like to be resurrected, and not the resurrection of the unjust. And that's a whole different sermon that we'll have to save for another time. And he offers us life eternal. And I suppose that's why we're here today, isn't it, saints? That we might worship this God that offers to us so freely these words of eternal life. We'd been studying in our class about the living water and how that becomes a wellspring in us, springing forth unto everlasting life. You know, when you make that covenant with the Lord Jesus in the waters of baptism, I can think of no greater joy in your life. And if you've experienced it, and I know most of you here today, and I know that you have, experienced of that joy, of what it means to make that covenant, of what it means to taste of this eternal life, and what it means to taste of the promises that the Lord has made to you. I pray as we continue in our worship this morning, and as you reach forth and you partake of these emblems, that perhaps you'll be like those disciples were as they walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And when they sat down and having reached their place where they needed to go, that city of Emmaus, and they sat down to eat with the man, and they'd walked with him all the while, but they didn't know that it was Jesus that walked with them. And they were sharing with him how it was that Jesus had been crucified, and they were lamenting the fact that we thought he was the Messiah, and they didn't understand. And Jesus broke bread, and he gave it to them to eat. And then when they partook, the scripture says that scales fell from their eyes, and they saw, and they knew who he was. I pray that might be your experience today. And if you've come repentant, with a contrite heart, as you reach forth and partake of the bread and the wine, I pray that Jesus will reveal himself unto you yet again, and that you might know of a surety that he has claimed you and you are one of his. This is my prayer today.